Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachalane Nirvishesha Sindhavadi Pashacha Deshatalane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Bhavan Kamsa Chapter 5 verse 20 Shastra Saptitarade Shama Shastra Saptitarade Shama Yona Veda Devartakam Katanda Panu Rupaya Gunabe Shrambo Mat in the creation of progeny. Narada Muni asked how one could ignorantly defy one's own father. The Paryaspas understood the meaning of this question. One must accept the original instructions of the Shastras. According to Vedic civilization, one is offered a sacred thread as a sign of second birth. One takes the second birth by dint of having received instructions in the Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, our Shastra scripture is the real father. All the Shastras instruct that one should end his material way of life. If one does not know the purpose of the father's quarters, the Shastras, he is ignorant. The words of a material father who endeavors to engage his son in material activities are not the real instruction of the father. Bhagavad Gita says, Parvittam Chandrittam Cha Janana Vidur Asura, the demons who are less than human beings but are not called animals do not know the meaning of Parvittu Niritti, work to be done or not to be done. In the material world, every living entity has a desire to lord over the material world as far as possible. This is called Parvittu Marga. All the Shastras, however, advise Liberty Marga, or release from the materialistic way of life. Apart from the Shastras of Vedic civilization, which is the oldest of the world, other Shastras agree on this point. For example, in the Buddha Shastras, Lord Buddha advises that one achieve nirvana by giving up the materialistic way of life. In the Bible, which is also a Shastra, one will find the same advice. One should cease materialistic life and return to the kingdom of God. In any Shastra, one may examine, especially the Vedic Shastra, the same advice is given. Wants to give up his materialistic life or to his original spiritual life. Shankaracharya also propounds the same conclusion, Brahma Satya Jagna Mitya. This material world, materialistic life is simply illusion, therefore one should stop his illusory activities and come to the platform of Brahman. The word Shastra refers to the scriptures predicting the Vedic books of knowledge, the Vedas, the Samya, Jarika, Atharva, and any other books deriving knowledge from these Vedas are considered Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, and therefore it is a scripture whose instruction should be especially accepted. In this essence of all scriptures, personally advise that one give up all the duties and surrender unto him. One should be initiated into the following, following the principles of Shastra. In offering initiation, our Krishna causes movement asks one to come to the conclusion of Shastra by taking the advice of the Supreme Speaker of the Shastra, Krishna, forgetting the principles of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, the principles we advise are no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. These four types of engagement will enable an intelligent person to get free from materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. In regard to the instructions of the father and mother, it may be said that every living entity, including even insignificant cats, dogs, and serpents, take birth of a father and mother. Therefore, getting a material father and mother is not a problem. In every form of life, birth after birth, the living entity gets a father and mother. In human society, however, one is satisfied with his material mother, father and mother, and their instructions, and does not make further progress by accepting a spiritual master and being educated in the Shastras, it certainly remains in darkness. The material father and mother are important only if they are interested in educating their son to become free from the clutches of death, as instructed by Rishabhadev, Pita Masasya Jana. One should not strive to become a mother or a father if one cannot save one's dependent son from the impending danger of death. A parent who does not know how to save his son has no value, because his fathers and mothers may be had in any form of life, even among cats, dogs, and so on. Only a father and mother who can elevate their son to the spiritual platform are bona fide parents. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, it is said, Janma na jayate sudra, one is born on material father and mother as sudra. The purpose of life, however, is to become Brahman, a first-class man. The first-class intelligent man is called a Brahman because he knows the Supreme Brahman, the absolute truth, according to Vedic instructions. To know this science, one must approach a bona fide guru, a spiritual master who will initiate the disciple with the sacred thread so he may understand Vedic knowledge. Jamana Jayate Sudra Sanskaradhi Bhavet Vija, becoming a Brahmana through the endeavor of a bona fide spiritual master is called Sanskar. after initiation, one is engaged in the study of Shastra, which teaches a student how to gain release from materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. The Krishna Conscious Movement is teaching this highest knowledge of retiring from materialistic life to return to Godhead, but unfortunately, many parents are not very satisfied with this movement. Aside from the parents of our students, many of these businessmen are also dissatisfied because we teach our students to abandon intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling. If the Krishna Consciousness Movement spreads, the so-called businessmen will have to close their slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories. Therefore, they are very much afraid. However, we have no alternative than to teach our disciples to free themselves from materialistic life. He was instructed in the opposite of material life to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Narada Muni, therefore, advised the Hariyasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, that instead of beginning progeny, they had better to lead and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of the Shastras. The importance of the Shastras is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. One who disregards the injunctions of the Shastras and acts whimsically as he likes never achieves the perfection of life, not to speak of happiness, nor does he return home back to the spiritual world. Translation, one must accept the original instruction of the Shastra. According to Vedic civilization, one is offered a sacred thread as a sign of second birth. One takes the second birth by dint of having received instructions in the Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master, and therefore Shastra scripture is the real father. All the Shastras instruct one that one should end his material way of life. If one does not know the purpose of the father's orders in Shastra, he is ignorant. The words of the material father who endeavors to engage his son in material activities are not real instructions of the father. So, this is a discussion of what actually is scripture, is the essence of that scripture. So, if a person gets instructions but doesn't know the real meaning of those instructions, then also it's not proper. So we have scriptural injunctions of many forms. And at the same time, we have to choose which are the best instructions. So, of course, we know the essence of all instructions is to give up all of the dharmas and surrender to the Supreme Lord. However, we will find other instructions that say the opposite. So the whole of Karma Kanda and Karma Yoga talk about engaging oneself in duties in the material world. And even encouraging people to go to Svarga Loka. Enjoy them. This is also scripture. So what is the real order of the scriptures, or the instruction of the scriptures, that we have to understand? And once we get that order, we have to follow that order. Now technically, the parents are supposed to give this instruction. So therefore, the father gives the Upanayanam Diksha to the son with a mantra. And then he's supposed to teach him the Vedas. Now, of course, the Vedas do have Karma Kanda, but ultimately the higher instruction is to give up material life. So, a proper parent has to give such instructions according to Vedic life. And if he doesn't do so, then he's not a proper father. Now, of course, we know there are several types of birth. We have the normal material birth, and then we have second birth, dvija, through Vedic samskar, initiation, upanayana, etc. So that is a second birth, and at that time the father is supposed to give the mantra and then give teachings, and then one is reborn again. Of course, often the father doesn't teach, and then someone else has to teach, or nobody teaches. Also, they get mantra, and nobody teaches anything. So that is what happens. So
in that sense, no scripture is taught at all, even if they get mantra. So that system, if followed properly, works. If it doesn't, is not followed properly, then of course it is simply a ritual. So, besides that, then we have the Vaishnav Diksha, which is similar in the sense that it is also like a rebirth. And through that, one gets Vaishnav mantra, particularly about the Supreme Lord, and one engages in worship of the Lord. So this is a little more direct. If one goes through the Brahminical process or the Varnashrama process and gets that mantra, one may or may not worship the Lord, depending on which type of teachings one gets. But the Vaishnava Diksha is particularly for worshiping the Supreme Lord, Vishnu or Krishna. So that person is not necessarily, and not in most cases, isn't the father, at least the material father. So one has another birth from a different father, so to speak. So if that mantra is given, that of course is not enough. One must also get instructions. So, of course, the Diksha Guru can also give instructions, and should. If he doesn't, then one has to get instructions from someone else, which means Shiksha Guru. So one must know the meaning of the mantras and the purpose of the mantras, and, of course, the philosophy behind that, which means Bhagavad philosophy. So therefore, in any case, one also has to get the Shiksha. In that case, then one is qualified to progress in life because we have a whole complete picture of the summary of Vedic knowledge or scripture. The correct meaning of scripture comes up. So in that sense, then, we have a true birth and a true father who may not be your material father. So, of course, the important thing is that one somehow or other get that knowledge and progress through that. So in Diksha, the knowledge is contained in the mantra. Without Diksha, the knowledge is there in the scriptures and the meaning given in the scriptures. Of course, both are recommended in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Diksha method and the Shiksha method. And together, we get the proper procedure for advancement. So this makes one successful. We get proper knowledge and then we can solve the problems of life and attain the ultimate goal of life. So the Haryasvas were hesitating to follow the instructions of their father and get married and have progeny and whatever. A Shastra, father is saying something in scriptures, one should get married according to the Varnashram system, etc., and have many children. But, as I mentioned already, scriptures say many things. So, therefore, one has to see what is the ultimate meaning of scriptures. So, the Haryasva say, no, that's one instruction, but we should see the real ultimate instruction of scriptures, which is to understand the higher purpose of life, which is not simply to get married and have children. But the higher purpose is to reject material life and develop one's attachment to the Supreme Lord. That is a higher principle. So though one can quote scripture to defend the process of family life, at the same time the higher principle is to pursue spiritual life. However, the two things are not contradictory. It's not that one has to renounce everything in order to practice spiritual life. Of course, traditionally there is something of that conception there because we have different ashramas. Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, and Sannyasa ashram. And of those ashramas, three are renunciation ashrams, and only one is non-renunciation, that is the Grihastha ashram. So then one should progress from Grihastha to Vanaprastha to Sannyasa. So then it looks as if we want to be spiritual, then we have to renounce everything. However, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has pointed out, the worship of the Supreme Lord, which is the essence of spiritual life, can be practiced by anybody. And therefore we measure the Vaishnava not by his ashrama, but simply by his worship. So the superior Vaishnava does not depend, doesn't depend on whether he's a sannyasi or a grihastha or a brahmachari or whatever. It simply depends on the dedication to worshiping the Supreme Lord. And so therefore the ashramas are not a consideration. So therefore renounced or unrenounced are not the factors to determine the advancement of the Vaishnava. So therefore the idea that of getting married or not getting married is not really a problem in the Vaishnava community. It may be in the Varnashrama community, but even then, the Grihastha also, though he is involved in family life, has duties to perform which are also spiritual. But more so in the Vaishnava concept, we emphasize the worship over the importance of ashram. So, therefore, those Haryaspas are saying that the father orders get married, but actually we have to become spiritual so that we don't get married. This is not really an argument as far as Vaishnavas are concerned. So the main point of the Vaishnava is whether you can worship the Lord or not worship the Lord. And it doesn't depend on which ashram you're in. So therefore one could technically follow the order of their father and at the same time fulfill one's ultimate purpose in life as a Vaishnava. And then we see cases of that, such as Dhruva or Ambarish, etc. Or all the Manus, for instance. They carry out the regular dharma and they set example for everyone. And they were married and there were kings. Carried out their duties as kings. At the same time, they were Vaishnavas. And they practiced, and they were successful. So there was no consideration of whether they should renounce or not renounce or whatever. That said, of course, ultimately, the advancement also has a particular type of renunciation in it. The more one advances in bhakti, the more detached one is from material things. So whether it is external or not, there must also simultaneously be a sense of renunciation along with one's advancement in spiritual life. The more one is attached to the Lord, the less one is attached to Maya. So this is what we call sahaj vairagya, or natural detachment. Material life. By developing attachment to the Supreme Lord, one naturally becomes detached from everything else. That may or may not show externally in terms of ashram. So one could be a detached householder due to his advancement in bhakti and not become a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. That's possible. So, in any case, the measure of our advancement is not upon ashram, but the real measurement is upon the worship of the Supreme Lord and the extent of the person who is doing that. That is the measure of one's success in life. And that, of course, is the ultimate order of scripture.
Instruction. They have to teach differently to different people or
Well, the whole process of bhakti is such that anybody can practice it from any stage. So it does not depend on varna or ashram that much. Now, of course, we do have principles we follow as we become more and more serious, but anybody can certainly start the process. So it's not that we have to tell everybody to come to the highest level immediately. So they can start at any particular position, but the more that they become serious, then of course more rules are there. Well, Narahari in his book Krishna Bhajanamrita says that one should verify the instructions of the Shiksha Guru by taking it to the Diksha Guru and seeing if there's no contradiction. That's all. This, of course, is regarding scriptural points. Well, of course, we have time under the control of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord knows past, present, and future, and certain sages also know past, present, and future in a limited way. Yogis also have some concept of knowing past, present, and future even in a more limited way. That's up to the will of the Lord, what he wants to reveal to certain individuals so they can understand the future. Some things are logical conclusions. If there's clouds in the sky, then it may rain. So that's nothing spectacular about that. It's a logical prediction we can make based on experience. And therefore, we have weather forecasters to tell us what the weather will be tomorrow. So that type of future is not difficult. Yeah? So there are symptoms we can see in material nature by which we can predict a little future. Or an earthquake, or whatever we can, you know, storms, or whatever we can predict many things. So there's nothing really mystical about that. It is simply logic. And it's not infallible. It may not always work either. But percentage wise, we can make some sort of predictions. Other things, of course, are, we can say, very unpredictable. So unpredictable that even Nityasiddha devotees are confused about how Krishna is acting and why he's doing certain things. And they can't understand either. And it's only after all the events have taken place that everybody understands why Krishna has done a certain thing. So ultimately, no one can claim to know everything in the future or whatever that. To some degree, yes, what Krishna allows us to understand we can do, but we cannot expect to know everything. That's up to the will of God.